Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to the local arts. And now, here's Leslie.
Why, yes, it is me.
That one was not my fault.
No, it wasn't.
Just for the record, that one was not my fault.
I'm sorry.
I didn't say it was yours. I wasn't going to say that.
I know, but it
there's
was.
There's a bus that went by.
And you know what? I'm going to own it.
You were not
okay.
Under it because I did not throw you there.
That's right. You didn't because you're wonderful.
I'm trying to live up to you.
Aw, precious. So I'm going to be talking in my lower register this morning.
Are you?
Yes.
Really?
Mostly because it's more sexy.
Yeah, okay. I have no problem with that.
No.
I can dig that.
I'm going to be talking in my lower register because...
because you want to give Kathleen Turner a run for her money?
No, because my higher register sounds like
this. Oh, it's gone! It's gone, ladies and gentlemen!
It is gone.
There is no higher register.
It is absolutely gone.
I told you about those sports games. I told you they would just lead you to ruin and vocal disuse.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Well... it may have been a sport, the way I do it anyway.
Oh, ouch. Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you're an art maker, an art breaker, an art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because of course all are welcome, to Homegrown, your show about local art, brought to you by the Blue Moon Diner. I'm the one they call Clinton here, and I'm here with a woman who's a legend by her own design, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie.
You're going to enjoy this, aren't you?
We can just make this sound like the late night soul show.
Yes, can we? That'd be amazing.
Welcome to Homegrown, your show about local art. I'm going to enjoy this a whole heck of a lot. But not as much as I will enjoy our first guest. But first, let's give you a little something that goes like this.
Ooh.
He got a thick wad of them and held them under the head. He touched the sharp blade to the throat, just touched it, as if expecting the knife to cut the white flesh of itself, as if he did not have to put pressure behind it. Wistfully, he gazed at the edge of the blade resting on the white skin. The gleaming metal reflected the tremulous fury of the coals. Yes, he had to. Gently, he sawed the blade into the flesh, and struck a bone. He gritted his teeth and cut harder. Boom! Coming up today, we have two wonderful representatives from probably the largest repository of art in the city, in the area, and the greatest thing is, it's all free. It's all paid for already by your tax dollars. Welcome for the first time to Homegrown, Sarah Helmfelt and Krista Farrell from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
Good morning.
Oh, I love how they said that in unison. That's awesome.
We're practiced.
Aw. So you guys are here to talk about a lot of things, right? I mean, you're here to talk about banned books.
Correct.
And then you have there's a lot of paper on our table, Clinton. They've like spread out.
They are the library. They are the source of information.
And they brought all of it here today. So what is this Banned Books Week?
Banned Books Week is an initiative of the American Library Association to remind people that reading is fundamental, and that we need to protect our right to read whatever we want.
Can't hear you.
Whoop.
I'm sorry, that second mic is not working today.
What? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so...
we'll be like you two, up and close.
Yes, get close. I hope you like
is
each other.
Is this better?
Let's try that again. Tell us about Banned Book Week.
Banned Books Week is an initiative of the American Library Association to remind us that the freedom to read needs to be protected and that books that are challenged or banned in communities should be available to everyone.
Wait, are you saying that there are books that are challenged or banned? Banned in communities?
That's right, yeah. Challenged means that someone has made a formal complaint and would like a book to be reconsidered. Banned means that it's been removed from access, whether that's it's restricted to older grades, a parent needs to check it out, or it's just removed completely from the shelves because of its content.
For instance, the little excerpt that I read was from a book, Richard Wright's Native Son. Now, are you telling me that this book has been either banned or restricted?
That's one that's on continually on one of the top 10 lists.
Oh my gosh.
And it's usually because it's on a required reading list for a classroom and a parent reads some of it or hears about some of it and not necessarily reads all of it and thinks it's inappropriate for his or her child and therefore inappropriate for all children in the classroom, which is not always the case. I'm just looking up to see if it's been challenged recently.
And I'm sorry, like that wasn't required reading for me in school, but it was required reading for me in my household. Like, I mean,
yeah, that's ALA's point too, is that the ultimate responsibility for who decides what a child should read is the parent and only the parent. And it's the child and only the child that parent is responsible for.
Yes, exactly.
So are the challenges and the bannings, are they all based on concern for children? Are there challenges and bannings that aren't concerned for children at all?
Sure, yeah. Most of them come from the school system or from the children's collection. But there are certainly books on the list that people find offensive for all categories. Krista has a list of last year's top 10.
Right. So 50 Shades of Grey, for instance, that one comes up continually. Not that that's a classic work or anything. But...
Yeah, but that should be banned because the writing was atrocious, because of what was in it.
Right. There are a lot of books coming out lately that have LGBTQ themes, homosexuality in them.
Oh.
I know. They're sexually explicit or they have language in them that might be offensive to some people, but not all. But those are the types of books that you'll see. But there's also a lot of what you would consider to be classics that are continually challenged also.
Well, I know D.H. Lawrence was challenged and banned repeatedly. And those are amazing books. I mean, those books talk about life. I mean,
the human condition. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If you think that Lady Chatterley's Lover is just about sex, oh boy.
Right? You are missing
it. It's about so much more.
Right? So I want to read a little something. Two boys kissing. You know what that means. For us, it was such a secret gesture. Secret because we were afraid. Secret because we were ashamed. Secret because it was a story that nobody was telling. But what power it had. Whether we cloaked it in the guise of, you be the boy and I'll be the girl, or whether we defiantly called it by its name. When we kissed, we knew how powerful it was. That was an excerpt from Two Boys Kissing by David Leviathan.
Right, and that one is on the top list for this year, and I also believe it was in the... was it in the list that Chesterfield had an issue with? No, the Chesterfield County Schools recently, this is not something that's been done in the past. This is an issue right now.
Uh-huh.
And this past summer, there was an issue in Chesterfield County. They had a list of recommended reading, but it was non-mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
But they sent it home with the kids, and there were some parents that objected to some of the books on the list. Even though it was not mandatory that you read them, some of the books contain pornographic scenes and inappropriate language, and this made a lot of news this summer. The committee has reviewed the works. They've decided, I believe, to keep the books back on, but of course, you know, it was just controversial because they were on there to start with. And, if one person gets a hold of it and decides to make an issue of it, then it becomes a big deal.
And that's what happened with Two Boys Kissing in Fauquier County. That was challenged in 2014. So not immediately in our area, but, in our state. Yeah.
Close enough. A book's throw away, certainly.
Well, and it's interesting because the book really isn't about two boys kissing.
No.
It's about two boys trying to break the world's record for the longest kiss.
And it's really...
And they're not even a couple.
Right. And it's really about that lost generation of young men who are lost to AIDS. They're sort of the Greek chorus in that book. So it's, in a way, historical fiction, about making families and making connections. So a lot gets lost in some of these bannings.
So what, to play devil's idiot for a moment, We as a culture, and we certainly as a smaller subsets of cultures, cities, towns, groups, enclosures, we have certain standards of behavior. We have certain things that we will allow and don't allow, things that we deem appropriate and not appropriate, both in terms of dress and behavior and language even. Hey there, FCC, how are you doing this morning? Hope your coffee's warm enough. What is the problem with extending exactly that type of behavior to reading material, especially reading material that can reach the tender, tender ears of our children, who, of course, are blossoms of innocence, who have no other exposure to questionable material?
Right, because, you know, they don't play Xbox or anything, and, you know, they don't watch HBO or anything, or they don't. Oh, I'm sorry. You were making satire. That's what you were doing. Okay, sorry.
Well, the library does have collection policies, and we are limited by space and money, so we don't own every title that's ever been published ever. So we do use critical sources to make those decisions. So the books that land on our shelves have been reviewed, are part of the popular mainstream press, do fit into those community standards that you're talking about. I mean, I don't think Penguin Random House is going to publish anything that their lawyers think will get them in trouble. So those standards are sort of being met that way, too. I lost my train of thought. It was a good one. Oh, it's going to be a good one.
It'll be back. That train of thought it just stopped to refuel for a moment. It'll be right back.
But if you want to know more about the books, of course, come to the library, because this week especially, we have wonderful displays of banned books, and you can see why they're banned. There's little flames shooting out of them with little notes on why they're banned. So you can come to the library and see the wide variety of books that have been banned or challenged, and the wide variety of reasons, some of which seem almost silly. I think Hop on Pop was one that came up this week that we were looking at.
Hop on Pop.
Yeah.
Gracious.
I think Hop on Pop, though, had some questionable characterizations of minorities. So maybe it is something you don't want to take home to your child particularly, but somebody else in the community might.
Right, but it's amazing some of the books that come up. We've talked before we went on the air about Junie B. Jones. Junie B. Jones is very popular with kids, and it gets kids to read Captain Underpants. Again, if your kids are reading, you should be happy your kids are reading. And if they're reading a book that's in a series and they're going to keep reading because they love that book, you get exposed to a lot of things. That doesn't mean you're going to do it.
Here's one of the top 10 challenge books from last year. See if you can guess which one this is. It was challenged because of its religious viewpoint, violence, and quote-unquote illegal.
Okay. Doom, 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 doom. Book challenge.
Some of you might have read this book this morning.
Violence, and because there are illegal activities. Doom, 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 doom. Was it Donald Trump's The Art of the Deal?
It's frequently read on Sundays.
No way.
The Quran! No.
Okay, Clinton, step away from the mic. Seriously, the Bible?
The Bible. Yeah, has been challenged on those grounds.
Wow.
Not just that, it's a top 10?
Yeah, meaning that of the hundreds of books that were challenged in 2015, this made the top 10.
Well, okay, so I think people may miss the fact that, all right, if you don't want your child to read something because of its content, then number one, it's your responsibility to police that.
Mm-hmm.
And two, if they've already read it and you don't agree with what the book is talking about, whatever happened to having a conversation with your kid and say, hey, you read this. What do you think about it? Do you really think that this is something that is acceptable or is unacceptable?
Well, to be fair, Leslie, that's easy to say when you don't have kids. Oh, wait a minute. You're the one with kids. I'm the one without kids. Okay.
Right.
Keep going.
Okay. I mean, you know, when my kids were little, I read to them every night. And of course, we started with classics, you know, The Jungle Book, Tom Sawyer, you know, all of those.
Challenge list.
But
you're reading those challenges.
Challenge.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Jungle Book, Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, all of those.
Really?
Yeah.
They've been okay. Well, I guess I'm just a degenerate then, because I was like, because you know, I wanted, because I wanted
doing to their.
I mean, I wanted my daughter to read Tom Sawyer, you know, I wanted her to have a sense of adventure and, you know, trying something that was not inside your wheelhouse and, you know, and seeing what comes of it.
Running
you know,
away to caves with strange Indians.
I know. You know, I wanted my son to read Little Women because I wanted him to, you know, he had a big sister. I wanted him to kind of understand how women think and how women interact with each other. And we had conversations about
and
that was the fun about it. So how do you, if when people come to talk to you about...
Wait, hold that question. We should do a drop. We should come back and hit that question right after the drop.
You're so bossy.
I'm not bossy. I'm just...
You're
Just they make me pay attention to the thing.
This is David Tewksbury, singer-songwriter from Charlottesville, Virginia, and you are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
16 minutes past the hour, you're listening, as David said, to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art. If you're just joining us, hey, how are you doing? You doing good? You waking up yet? We are here speaking to Sarah Hemfelt and Krista Farrell from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. I think that's the official way that you have to say it. They're just telling me this. And they're here to talk about many things, but most specifically about BAM Books Week. Do you want to hit that question?
So when you have people that come to you to talk to you about, oh, this has been on the BAM Books list, you know, what... How should I approach it? What's your advice to them?
We love talking about books, and we love when people come to us and ask for recommendations. And we get it. Maybe you are not in the mood for something with a lot of violence in it, but you're still looking for a thriller. That's our job. Come bother us. Come ask us that. We have an online form you can fill out. You tell us what you've read lately. What you're in the mood for next, what you want to stay away from. Maybe you don't like graphic novels, you don't want to read one of those. We'll turn around and give you a recommendation of like three more titles within a day or so.
Wow, that's great.
So you don't even have to leave your sofa.
You don't even have to leave your bedroom. You can stay in your pajamas, visit the interwebs. And
we'll even recommend titles you can download. No human contact.
I was looking for something set somewhere in the Middle East or maybe in the Eurasian continent with just a little bit of ennui, no mentions of food, and the slight intrigue, although I can't deal with the British Secret Service. Could you help me with that?
Yes, although the food one is where you caught me. As you're going down the list, I was like, yeah, oh no, they talk about food.
I love it when he does accents, but that was okay. How many displays? You said you had displays of the books in the library. So how many do you have displayed?
We have.
And is it on at all the branches?
Yes, most of our branches have banned books displays. At the central library, we have one in the adult area, we have one in the children's area, we have one in the book drop window, which is really cool looking. So you should take a look at that. We also have a banned book photo booth at the main library. So it's like a mugshot. You can pick up one of the banned books and have your photo taken with, you know, tells you how tall you are and everything, and then you know it's a mugshot basically, so you can come by and do that and then post it on Instagram or put
Clinton
it up.
We need to do that.
Yeah, you guys should do that. And then
can we go do that,
this
please?
Coming Thursday, if you want to read aloud like we're doing this morning and you want to read aloud out in public, you can do it at Tin Whistle Irish Pub on Market Street, a few blocks from the library, at 5 o'clock on Thursday the 29th. We're going to have a banned books read aloud, so you might read something. For instance, one that I like to read from is called How Not to Have to Dry the Dishes. And this is a poem in A Light in the Attic by Shel Silverstein. And if you have to dry the dishes, such an awful boring chore, if you have to dry the dishes instead of going to the store, if you have to dry the dishes and you drop one on the floor, maybe they won't let you dry the dishes anymore. And this, of course, is upsetting to some folks because it encourages children to drop and break dishes,
right,
because, rather than doing their chore.
Because no child can understand that that's funny, that it's not actually telling you to break all the dishes.
Right. So that's what we found in the research that we do is, you know, it feels like people sometimes don't use any intelligence or common sense in terms of interpreting that these things are not literal and they're supposed to be symbolic of something maybe that you would interpret in another way and get a new meaning from. But that's why it's fun to do this every year, because you have discussions and you talk about what some of the issues are. And of course, right now, the theme of diversity and diversity in characters and diversity in books for children and adults, you know, get outside of your comfort zone a little bit, read something different, help to widen your viewpoint. So that's, again, why this is fun to do every, it's every year. So you can come by and get your picture taken with a banned book in the banned photo booth, banned book photo booth. You can look at the displays. You can come and read aloud at our program on Thursday evening.
And I think what people who to challenge and try to get banned books, fail to see is that we as public librarians serve the entire community. So when they don't want their particular child to read a book about a homeless kid who's being sexually abused, they forget that there is a homeless kid who's being sexually abused in their child's classroom needs to be represented.
Who would like to know that they are not completely alone
right.
and that someone understands what they're going through.
Right. And that they're valued and special.
And
so.
And I think people forget that that's how most people stop feeling alone is they read a story about somebody who's like them.
Right. Or with your sons, he's not going to be a woman. So he needs to know what that experience is like and what better way to do it. And then sort of the safe confined at his own pace.
Yes.
And kids too. I've read books as an adult that I read as a child, and it's a completely different book. I missed
right.
so much.
Yes.
That's what they were doing.
He's like, wait, that's what they were talking. I thought, oh, okay.
But I was too, it didn't affect me. It didn't register anything. I was not harmed by that information as it came in.
Right, because if you're a kid, you don't understand it. It's that joke is going over their head. They don't get it.
No.
So basically what we're saying is there's a lot of stupid people in the world and they want to spread that.
We're not going to say that as representatives of the Jefferson Madison Regional
Library. That's completely my view. That is, I will completely own that view.
Sometimes
the
people
views
get
of
frightened.
Leslie M. Scott Jones do not reflect.
No, I'll completely own that. I don't like people.
Actually, we're so desperate to have somebody give feedback to us on our Facebook page. If you want to yell at Leslie for that comment, please go to our Facebook page and yell at Leslie for that comment.
Bring it.
Please. And like the Facebook page while you're there.
And people are trying to protect their children, and we want to be part of that conversation and help. We want to help you find the books that you want your kids to read. So if you let us know what you're looking for, we'll be happy to put together a list for you and set you on a reading journey of your own choosing.
That's cool. Okay, so you've got a lot of paper here. So what else is going on? They have a whole booklet of stuff, Clinton.
Right. So the new schedule of programs for all of our locations has just come out. It's the fall version of Beyond the Books. So it tells you about our banned books activities, but it also tells you about Chess Saturday and Beat Poets Reading and Star Wars Reads Day. We're also doing...
Star Wars Reads Day?
Yeah. Come on by, Clinton, on Saturday, October 8th in the afternoon. We are going to have a Star Wars Reads Day celebration. I don't know. Last year we had R2-D2 there, but I don't know if we'll have that this year. But we will have the 3D printer up. We'll be doing demonstrations of 3D printing. There'll be prizes and crafts and food and all of that. We're also on Saturday, November 5th, having a Read Local panel and author fair. So this is for those local authors who maybe have self-published books or have books out that they want to promote. We're going to have a special local author event.
I would love to be on that panel.
Well, you go to the...
Look at you. Look at you. You just can't, let an opportunity drop, can you?
They're right here.
You just can't.
They're right here, and I happen to be a local self-published author. Why wouldn't
I? I'm sure that the people who listen to the show regularly had no idea that was the case.
And if they didn't, Now they know. By the way, you can get my books on Amazon.com, Google Play, and Barnes & Noble. Just type in my name, Leslie M. Scott Jones. Pop up right for you, okay?
That's how this program started. This is what we're hearing from local authors. They want a way to get out and connect with their community. So this year is going to be a pilot program, and then hopefully it'll...
But if you want to come, you need to let us know ahead of time. Kind of is a little bit of a registration process. So you can contact me or Sarah. We can put you in touch with the right person. Or just go to the library's website and send us an email, and we'll get you to the right person.
Done.
Here's the thing, Leslie. I don't think anyone's challenged or banned your book yet. So I don't know if you're allowed to.
Not yet.
That is a way to sell more books, by the way. Write something controversial.
You know, I just haven't had the right uptight read it yet.
Well, Leslie,
here
are some topics. This is why books are challenged most often. So write a book that includes homosexuality, a religious viewpoint, is sexually explicit, unsuited for an age group, has a political viewpoint, includes racism, or interestingly, is racist to whites, which is the first time I've seen that on it.
I was thinking Art of the Deal, but that kind of...
So basically, seriously, my book covers like four of those. So I'm good.
You're in
good shape. I'm good. I just need to have the right uptight person read it, and I'm golden.
Or if you're doing NaNoWriMo next in November, maybe these are some prompts that would help you get through the month.
Why not? Hey, you know, I'm just saying. You know, I'm out here. I'm trying to make it happen. You know, any way I can.
Sarah, Krista, thank you so much.
Thank you. It was fun to be here.
Thanks.
Tell people once again, when is Banned Books Week?
Banned Books Week is this week, actually. It is September 25th, today, through October 1st. And read something different. Come on by, check something out from one of our displays. It really does help to get those books out into people's hands and get a discussion going.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming on Homegrown.
Thank you.
I'm going to do my list. Let's talk about some of the other artistic things we have going on for our wonderful artistic town. Currently running from now until September 29th. You have until September 29th. I'm saying this for myself as much as for you because I don't want to miss some of these things. Goodness gracious. It's the American Shakespeare Center's summer fall season. You're running out of time to see Twelfth Night, King Lear, Henry VI Part 2 by Shakespeare, and of course the modern musical Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. Also today, Sunday Salsa at the Anteroom. Yeah, September 27th, the open mic Charlottesville at the Anteroom. And also on the 27th, the Polaroid Stories at Guerrilla Theater on 1713 Allied Street. If you missed Polaroid Stories before, you've got an opportunity to see them again. Don't miss them this time. September 28th, UVA alum Jane Allison reads from her latest novel, Nine Island, at the UVA Bookstore. From the 29th to the October 8th, talking about UVA, it's The Comedy of Errors by Shakespeare at the UVA Drama Department in their Culber Theater. September 29th, it's Ante Up, Comedy Open Mic Night at the Ante Room. Also, Lighthouse Studios has their Indie Film Minute. That means they're screening David Quint's documentary, Father Unknown, at the Vinegar Hill Theater. Check that out. Also on the 29th, UVA MFA Reading Series at Millie Joe Coffee and Gelato, right downtown. Sarah Prevost and Ethan Feuer. On the 30th, Ryan Lavin Art Show at Blue Moon Diner. Fourth Friday's Improv Workshop at PBCC's V. Earl Dick Building. And on the 30th also, award-winning Chilean poet Cristian Formosa reads his latest book, El Cementerio Más Hermoso de Chile, or The Most Beautiful Cemetery in Chile, at the Central Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. And let's look at some of the musical options you've got available to you today. Bob Williamson at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub at noon, and then going on to Fellini's at 6 p.m. Big day for Bob, September 28th. Waterside Wednesdays continues at Glasshouse Winery with John Spear and Dara James. Also on the 28th, Quiet Fire at the Bebedero, the Jazz Collective No. 9 at Fellini's No. 9, Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom, Scuffletown at the Market at Grellin. On the 30th, Jacob Paul Allen and the Ramblin' Sinners at Wild Wolf Brewery, Pale Blue Dot, Evil Eye, and Joe Duris and the Skills at the Anteroom. Also on the 30th, the Randy Johnson Trio at the Bebedero, James 3 Trio at the Whiskey Jar, and the Six Pack Songwriter Series from our man Jason Burke. This time he's bringing you Shivani Burke, Mike Savantovich, Emily Julia, John Kelly, Eric Redneerenum, and Josh Mayo. On October 1st, it's Jim Wave at Albemarle Cider Works, the Sally Rose Band and Aaron at the Wildfire at the Ix Art Park, Matt Horn and the Musical Suspects at the Bebedero. I love that name, Matt Horn and the Musical Suspects. Also, it's our man John Dearth at Fellini's and bluegrass multi-instrumentalist Jason Ring at the Whiskey Jar. Also, Alex Kevin and Friends, the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. And once again, Jason Burke and Friends at, with John Kelly at Rapunzel's Coffee and Books. Of course, every Sunday, it's Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, the Singer-Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, it's the traditional Irish session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, open mic night at the Prairie Bar. Farm Brewery, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Katura, and the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. And every Thursday, it's the Woolen Riders Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And of course, it wouldn't be a week that's complete without the John Dearth Quintet at Miller's, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. And those are just some of the artistic events available to our us and our wonderful artistic town. If you're an artist and have an event, please let us know about it so we can let them know about it. www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvcc, or you can email it to us at our handy dandy address, homegrown947@gmail.com. 31 minutes past the hour. And 31 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Homegrown, a show about local art, brought to you by Blue Moon Diner. Blue Moon Diner offering breakfast all day, every day, with brunch on Saturday and Sunday, and carefully constructed diner food in the afternoons and evenings. And speaking of the evenings, Blue Moon Diner is nice enough to support visiting and local artists. This week, Tuesday, blues musician Ivan Appelroth. On Wednesday, it's Jim Wave. Thursday, it's Fredericksburg's Karen Jonas supporting her upcoming album, Country Songs. And Friday, local string band Fermata Mafia playing jazz and rock-influenced bluegrass originals and creative covers. Stay tuned after the show, of course, for the Sunday morning wake-up call. This is Homegrown, your show about local art.
Okay, you told people to post on their Facebook page?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to show you this, because there's proof. Our friend Abigail.
our friend and occasional guest host?
Yes. What does she say there, Clinton? Can you read that?
She says, Leslie, you should be shunned by society.
No, that is not what she says. She says, Leslie, you are so right.
You planted that. That is a plant. All right, 32 minutes past the hour.
We are about to go on the air. We're going to play a little something.
And it's time to head off to our next guest. But first, let's play a little bit something from them to give you a little taste.
Dark dreams come in. Prepare to take a ride.
That was Anna and Elizabeth, Little Black Train, and they are with us here on Homegrown. Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Well, it's just Anna today.
Oh, how are you, Anna?
We're excited to come to Charlottesville.
And so you're on tour right now, right?
Yeah, I'm speaking to you from Columbus, Mississippi.
Ooh.
Columbus, Mississippi. That sounds like some serious south there.
Yeah, it's quite south. It's been quite hot down here. So we get to start heading back north, so we're excited to leave summer behind fully.
How's the tour been?
It's been so fun. I think our work brings us to such a diverse group of venues. We played a world music festival. We just played a storytelling festival. We're getting to do a house concert today. We had a nice art center in Iowa earlier and a folklore center. So it's been fun, just the range of places we've gotten to visit.
Well, we want to thank you so much for calling in so early on a Sunday morning.
Oh, it's no problem.
So what is it like touring and playing all those different venues? Because it does sound like a range of venues, and of course each venue is going to have a different feel to it, right?
Totally. I mean, I think it keeps it interesting. I think there's a sense with folk music that it comes from such a wide range of places. You know, it's music that all kinds of people played, and so it's nice to be able to really feel like we can reach a broad range, you know, some like older folks, younger folks. So having a range when we're on tour is really nice, and it keeps things interesting, of course. So like we're just playing a storytelling festival, so it's nice to think about be amongst an audience where they're like they are thinking about our music in the context of storytelling. Or when you're at a world music festival, we've met this in Bloomington, Indiana, thinking about all our field work and thinking about what makes our music kind of Virginia and American Appalachian music in contrast to these friends we made from Poland who, in a way, they're doing the same type of work. They're listening to old recordings and thinking about where they're from through music. But of course the music sounds very different because they're Polish and we're American, but it's kind of like there's a kinship at a world music festival where you're hearing people from all over the world who are really thinking deeply about what the sound is of where they're from.
Yeah, and so for people who don't know, could you go into detail, talk about the field work that you do for your music?
Yeah, so Elizabeth and I, we do a variety. We took about 6 months to do archival research. So essentially going into the libraries, usually at universities, and listening to the recordings that were made by these, I guess I can't think of a better way to put them, as these very enthusiastic people from the 30s and 40s.
Is this our man, Alan Lomax?
He was kind of the one who made himself famous, and there were tons of people who were doing this, and some were amateur and some were like women who didn't have day jobs, and so they took this on as their vocation. And just people who went from door to door in small towns. So I did a lot of research in Vermont, where I'm from. Elizabeth did research in Virginia, and these people made thousands of recordings of kind of everyday people singing old songs in their houses. So those thousands of recordings are at these libraries and just waiting to be listened to, essentially. It's just the job of like listening through a ton of songs, because you don't always love every old song, and just sorting through which ones we liked and which ones we wanted to sing, and then finding out who was this person. Like, you just usually get the name at the library, like Margaret Shipman, who is that? And I think learning about them more, and it kind of makes you more interested and excited about it to have some idea of who they were as people, instead of just it being an anonymous name.
So how did you get started playing Appalachian folk music? Like, I mean, that's not something a musician would just gravitate towards on their own. What was your that journey?
Like little Anna wasn't watching TRL and suddenly suddenly Utah Phillips comes on and she's like, oh, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, I started playing classical music. So kind of got interested actually through that, because if you think about it, a lot of those composers, a lot of the famous composers use melodies from folk music to develop their things. So Tchaikovsky was using Russian folk melodies, and I was was obsessed with Aaron Copland as like a 10-year-old. My parents had a record of his orchestral music and dance music, and I was like, dance around in the living room. Little knowing, I was like listening to all this American folk music, and I don't know if that was what put me down that road, but you know, I eventually ran into some kids who were playing banjo and fiddle. It was kind of when I was starting college, and then that prompted a move. I moved to Kentucky and then the Blacksburg area for a number of years, and that's where I met Elizabeth, who she grew up around music. Her going to fiddlers conventions, going to Galax, and her parents sing, and her aunt and uncle played fiddle and banjo. So she, for Elizabeth, it was a little bit more like growing up into, it was all around her. For me, it was a little more something I had to hunt down later in life.
So how long have you guys been playing together?
About 6 years almost, I think. Seems like a long time, but also a very short time.
Yeah. Well, and
we still have a lot. We're like, still very excited. And we're like, oh, we have all these projects we have to do. So.
Well, I mean, just listening to your stuff, I mean, it's for me, very reminiscent of Indigo Girls, as you know, your melodies and your harmonies. And yeah, I was just listening. I was going through your YouTube channel. And I'm a huge Indigo Girls fan. So just listening to your stuff, I was like, oh yeah, this is definitely like Amy and Emily-esque going on here.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, definitely, I would say that, I don't know, I did never have listened to Indigo Girls, really, but definitely I would say, in a way, their music and our music is, like, flowing out of the same source, you know, all of these people who are, like, kind of taking a nod from the, like, kind of the older folk music, you know. So, yeah, I would say music like that is connected, for sure.
All right, let's take a moment to listen to another song done by Anna Elizabeth. This is Won't You Come and Sing to Me here on Homegrown.
Oh, great one.
Won't you come and sing for me? Then my Anna and Elizabeth. So tell us a little bit about that song.
Yeah, so that song was written by a really great singer born in West Virginia named Hazel Dickens. And she grew up near Princeton, West Virginia, and then kind of moved to Baltimore and then D.C. with a lot of her family to find work basically in the factories. And then kind of there fell in with there was a really thriving bluegrass scene in the 40s and 50s there, and there she met Alice Gerard and Mike Seeger and played music. She played bass at like bars and bluegrass bands and recorded some records, so Rounder Records with Alice Gerard, and kind of her music along with Alice is kind of why we even called our band Anna and Elizabeth, because they just went as Hazel and Alice. And there's
great,
some great records of theirs. And I'm totally mentors of ours.
Cool. We're going to take just a brief break to play just a couple of ads that we have to. We'll be right back with Anna from Anna and Elizabeth. All right. 48 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your show about local art. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Anna from Anna and Elizabeth. Anna, you and Elizabeth are, of course, on tour, and you've got a concert coming up in town. Tell us about that.
Yes. We're excited. It's our final day of this tour, and we're really
excited. Are we the tour ender?
What's that?
Are we the tour ender?
Yeah. It's the final big blowout show. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and Charlottesville was one of the first places we ever played. We played some house concert like 5 or 6 years ago, but we're playing at the Haven, which is such a beautiful spot with Diane Cluck, who I've been such a big fan of her for a long time. So really excited to do that. And
she's great. We love Diane. We love Diane. She's
so great. Yeah. So we're like, oh, let's do some songs together. So it'll be really fun, and that's this upcoming Friday, coming up soon. We're really excited to come back to Charlottesville. Yeah.
So you guys are actually playing with Diane? It's not that she's sharing the bill. You guys have actually...
We're sharing the bill, but, you know, when you share a bill with a musician that you like, you always try to see if you can fit in, like, oh, will you come sing harmony with us on this song? So it'll be something like that.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So... this coming Friday at the Haven, Anna and Elizabeth and Diane Cluck. Got to go check it out. Anna, thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Have a good rest of the tour. We'll see you here on Friday.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
44 minutes past the hour. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after our show. That's Homegrown, your show about local art, for the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. And now, with no further ado, because it's what you want, and from us to you, it's that part of the show we call Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Oh, why, thank you, Clinton. I went to the Virginia Women's Conference yesterday. It was not something I had ever heard about. It was not something really on my radar. But my mother has gone for years, and she phoned me a few months ago and asked if we would go together. And because my mother is my best friend, the opportunity to spend the day with her after such a busy season for both of us was more than enough to entice me to attend. I had no idea what to expect, but I knew there would be free lunch. So I had never been one of those women who found comfort in the company of other women. I've always been more comfortable around men, mostly because I understood them better. They seem to be so much more straightforward and unencumbered by the emotion that was always present when women got together in a group. But as I get older, I find more comfort, more power, just more, when I'm in the company of women. I was more than pleasantly surprised that this was a day where I laughed, I talked, I commiserated with women from all walks of life and all backgrounds. I learned. I was entertained. I was invigorated. I made some good connections. I had some of the most hysterical and true conversations I have ever had. One of the sessions focused on making major life changes. And I know you're probably thinking it was about something inherently female. It wasn't. It was about navigating not just logistics, but the resistance women get when they decide they want to make a change. As one of the panelists said, when life throws you a curveball, throw that bitch back. There were many other sessions that were informative and fun, and I left that building ready to approach things in my life a little differently. I left wanting to do more, not less. I left that building knowing deep in my soul that it was not just men who run this world. Women do too. I left realizing that rather than hating my inherently female nature, I need to use it, embrace it, and yes, enjoy it. It is that nature, that instinct, that femaleness that will get me where I need and want to be. I left knowing that, for the most part, my success would also always come because of another woman who was an ally, who helped me with advice or a shoulder or being that never-failing customer or supporter. So, to all the female artists out there, I need you to know this too. I need you to feel it in your soul, and I need you to go out and make something amazing. Without forgetting that your femaleness is not a detriment. It is an asset. Use it. Embrace it. Revel in it. It was given to you for a reason. And that's the weekly rant. Clinton's sitting dumbfounded there. All right, honey?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you done?
Oh, wow. It's going to be one of those. Okay.
I wasn't listening.
Good, because I wasn't really talking to you.
Well, that's why I wasn't listening, because yeah. I heard you say female, women, something. And I'm like, oh, obviously this isn't really relevant to me or, you know,
well,
to most of the
actually,
population.
For an intelligent male,
so
it
I just
would
sort of
be
tuned
for
out,
cause, because you know, an I wanna, intelligent I male would
give
know
you
that giving... the women
to,
in his
to,
life,
you know, to,
the
to do
room
sort of blah,
to have
blah,
power
blah,
is,
blah, blah,
you know,
blah.
Something that is beneficial
and,
not only to the
know,
women in his life, but to him. But, you know, I don't,
you know, you got your,
I don't expect everyone to be enlightened.
You got,
you know,
that feminist agenda of yours, and I just didn't want to...
Hey, and you know what? I'm loving my vagenda. You know what? My vagenda is beautiful and powerful, and if you can't handle it, then you need to just back up.
I'm sorry. Did you say something again? Because I was...
Yeah, you know what?
We
have spent, I don't know how many centuries talking about penises. Guess what? We're tired of talking about that.
How could you possibly be tired of talking about penises?
No, you've seen one, you've seen them all.
No,
they ain't interesting
great,
no more.
See, because, you know, just when you think the subject has gone flat, oh, something happens. And it rises up again,
yeah.
And it's interesting.
Well, yeah,
and it's just like, it's great
yes,
that way.
Yes,
it's
that's
just,
true.
It just comes up, and then
unless
you're
having
away,
issues and you
and
can't then, get it up.
Well, every once in a while, the subject's a little old and, you know, has some problems with that, but, you know.
Yeah, see, we don't have that problem. We're ready to go.
Just
all the time.
Yeah, I can tell
all
you're ready to
time.
Go. Right out the door, you're ready to go. always leaving, never taking time,
if
never
we're not
staying,
being
never being
respected
true,
or treated
never
right.
True,
yeah, we're
never,
ready to walk out the
know
door.
Know what it's like to just support?
And I'm
to
sorry.
Just support.
Wait.
No,
wait, wait,
it's all, you
wait, wait.
Walk
you
out
are
the door
seriously
you got
sitting
some
here.
Type of thing
you're seriously
to go to.
Sitting here.
And you know what happens? You
that
know what
someone
happens?
Would walk out the door because they're not being treated right.
You just start talking about your things, and all of a sudden it's like, well, you should leave, and you should leave, and you should leave, and you should, and bam, bam, there you go. Well, maybe
you know
we
I'm
are
just gonna,
tired
I'm just
going to
let you talk
because
you're sounding kind of stupid right
maybe
now.
Maybe we're just tired of being the ones that are always there. Maybe we're just tired of being the rocks. The rocks, I'm telling you. The rocks.
Excuse me?
Because, you know,
the
just
rocks.
Like the members.
The rocks of what?
You knock us down, we come back up. You knock us down, we come back up. We come back up. That's what I'm saying.
You know what,
you know,
sweetie?
Maybe
bang
I'll be
on
the one
table
walk
all you
out.
Want.
That's
that ain't
how,
happening.
How you like it? How you like it if I'm the one who walks out? Next, I'm just going to tell you.
You walk out every week. What do you mean, how do I like it? I go through this every week with you. See? Every week he walks out. He's complaining because I... You know what? Okay, cleansing breaths. I learned this in one of the seminars yesterday. Cleansing breaths. I'm going to take... All right, I'm all better now. Yeah, just breathe out all that negativity, and it's all good. It's all good. I'll just, you know, pummel him in the parking lot before he can get away. All right, we want to thank Sarah and Krista from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library for coming to talk to us about Banned Books Week. I am definitely going to go and get my picture taken in that picture booth. That's sounds like fun, man. And we want to thank Anna from Anna and Elizabeth for calling in on while they're on tour. How awesome was that? Taking a little time out to talk to us about their concert at the Haven with Diane Cluck this Friday, September 30th. You guys go and check them out and check out their YouTube channel, too, because there's a whole lot of videos, some really great music on there. And next up, it's the Sunday Morning Waking Call with Rick Moore. And we will see you guys next week. And hopefully, you know, I'll have like a real voice back. And, you know, hopefully Clinton won't be crazy. You guys have a great week. We'll see you next time.
You're here, I'm pleased. I really dig your company. Your style, your smile, your peace mentality. Lord, have mercy on me. I was blind, now I can see. What I came supposed to be. Baby, I feel free. Come on and go with me. Let's take a long walk around the park. Find a spot, us to spark conversation, verbal elation, stimulation, share our situation, temptation, education, relaxation, elevation. Maybe we can talk about Sora 3118. Your background, it ain't squeaky clean shit. Sometimes we all got to swim upstream. You ain't no saint, we all a sinner. But you put your good foot down to make your soul the winner. I respect that, man, you're so fat. And you're all that, plus supreme. Then you're humble, man, I'm numb your feeling. I can feel everything that you bring. Let's take a long walk around the park. After dark, find a spot, us to spark. Conversation, verbal elation, stimulation. Share our situation, temptation.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.